When your comrade handed your branded line, they throw the book at you, send you to make a fire.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. I am Brandon Weatherby, and I am with my good friend Tony Beasley.
Hello, I'm Tony.
Who I don't see often because you now live in Minneapolis. Or do you live in St. Paul?
I live in downtown Minneapolis.
You live in downtown Minneapolis, and you live there because you are a lawyer.
Yeah.
You are a successful young professional. You are a yuppie, friend.
I am kind of a yuppie.
Yeah, but I never thought of you as a yuppie because, you make money, but... Well, yeah, my girlfriend's home. She just got home.
Hey,
but,
Kelsey.
Yeah. How you doing? Through a wall. How do you like Minneapolis?
It's cool, man. I've only lived there for about 2 months or so, but it's an easily navigable city.
Yeah.
There's no traffic.
Yeah.
From what I've experienced, which is a huge plus.
Yeah.
And I get to walk to work while living in like a reasonably affordable apartment.
In downtown.
Yeah.
Is downtown dead on the weekends or no?
No. Well, I don't know.
Because when we went to college and it's a Paul.
If we had gone to the Loop, it'd be dead.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
No. There's no real like Loop area that's so far removed from everything else.
So downtown is what in Minneapolis?
There's like a block where it's just like stores and stuff,
uh-huh.
And then if you go a few blocks west is the theater district, and there's lots of bars over there.
Okay.
And you know, that's very busy on the weekends.
So there's actually stuff to do.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's your normal day like in the work week, and what's your normal day like on the weekend?
Do you want me to go through like a work
day? I do
day
want
first?
You to go through a work day if you can. If
okay.
You are willing to.
Yeah, of course.
There you go.
Let's see. Well, I usually try to wake up at about 7 or so.
Okay.
I usually lay in bed for a minute and
for a minute, and then you get up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I never hit snooze because I know I'll always sleep through.
So you have discipline.
The next ones, yeah, but I do lay there for a while, and mm-hmm. I sit there and think. And
so you block off thinking time in the
yeah.
morning. Okay.
Then I take a shower, and then it's usually a strategic thing whether I'm going to eat breakfast there or get something on the way to the office. Depends on what I've got to do that morning.
Okay. So you eat 3 meals a day.
I do. Oh yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah, I have to eat breakfast because otherwise I get kind of sick midway through the morning.
Physically sick or headed or what?
No, like physically sick. Like I have to eat breakfast.
Wow.
If I've got milk that hasn't expired, it happens a lot because time tends to lapse pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Then I definitely have a bowl of cereal every morning.
Okay. What kind of cereal?
Ooh.
Sugar-based or grains?
Always. My favorite is Frosted Mini Wheats.
Okay. So you're like that little kid, the 6-year-old with the Frosted Mini Wheat talking to you in the morning about you're going to ace the spelling bee.
Was that the Frosted Mini Wheats commercial?
I think so. And then they talked to the kid, which I found really weird.
Oh, that's right. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, if you think about it. It's really creepy. And then there's the other Frosted Mini Wheat commercial. If you microwave the Frosted Mini Wheats, they talk to you about how it's a sauna, and they really like being in the sauna of the milk. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Did that commercial actually happen?
This commercial exists. I am not making this up. That's the hot version of the Frosted Mini Wheat commercial.
That's interesting. I feel I feel like you're mixing like an oatmeal commercial.
I'm not. It's saying that you can have Frosted Mini Wheats in the winter instead of oatmeal.
Okay.
Okay, anyways, so you eat your Frosted Mini Wheats, and then
yeah.
you head over to work.
Yeah, yeah, and then it's like a 5/10-minute walk to work.
Jeez,
which
is wonderful.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
And depending on the temperature, I can walk as little as 2 blocks or as many as, you know, 5 or 6 blocks outside. Because
wow.
They have the skyway. Are you familiar with this?
I am not.
They have skyways in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Throughout most of downtown, depending on where you are, you can get from point A to point B. In a slightly more roundabout way, if you're willing,
uh-huh.
if you're willing to, but it's inside.
So it'll be good for the winter.
It's good for the winter and it's good for the summer when
for
it's
air conditioning?
Really hot.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yes.
You're set in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you get to the firm, what do you do?
Well, I get up to my office, go inside. If I've got breakfast to eat, I shut my door.
Okay.
Turn on my light.
Okay.
Put my shit away, and I eat my breakfast. I usually have to go through the ritual of plugging my computer to its little dock station.
Okay, so you still use the laptop you use at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have 2 laptops. I've got my personal laptop.
Ooh, someone's fancy.
Whoa, and my work laptop.
I would love it if your work laptop was a Mac and the other one was not a Mac. It'd be funny.
It'd be funny, but it's actually the opposite.
Well, yeah, that makes complete sense. Uh-huh. That's why. You don't get the joke, Frosted Mini. You eat too many of those. All right, so you turn on, you dock your laptop, then mm-hmm. what? So we're at, like, what, 9:05?
Oh, at this point, we're usually at, like, between 8 and 8:30.
Jesus. So you, what time are you supposed to be there?
It's,
it depends. It depends on what you're working on?
Depends on what I've got that day. If I've got meetings, it's... There's no set time, which is really nice.
Okay.
Like, if for some reason I have to come in at 10 one day, you know, I come in at 10.
Nice.
People know, and I've got my email coming to this little guy.
To your BlackBerry that you just pulled out mm-hmm. for the people that can't see this.
Yeah.
Which is anyone but me, hopefully. So you get there, and then what? What is, like, what's the work day consist of? See, because you're not the lawyer that goes, you're not the kind of lawyer that's dealing in courts, usually, right?
Well, no.
Do you, will you ever?
Yeah, hopefully someday.
Because what kind of law do you work in?
I work in the firm's intellectual property litigation department.
Okay, so...
And so I do patent litigation.
So how would you explain this to a person that's not familiar with any of these terms?
Okay, for a person who watches Law and Order every day,
yeah.
It's not like that.
Yes.
I'm in a team of about probably... I'm not even going to count, like probably 10 to 12 lawyers.
Okay.
Who are working at the firm full time, like on a career track. And there's also probably like 25 to 30 right now attorneys who are working there on a contractual basis who just do document review.
Okay.
Because, and we all work on
what's document review?
Looking at documents to see whether we should give them to the other side or not, or vice versa.
Okay.
Because we're in a case that's that big.
Okay.
It's large. And it's, okay. Depending on how far it goes, it'll take probably the next couple years of my life.
Wow. So you might be working on one case for up to 5 years, possibly. 3 years.
More like 3 years from start to finish, yeah.
Okay. So the entire time you're in law school is one case in the real world, possibly.
For this type of law, sometimes, yeah.
And you're working on a team, you said.
Mm-hmm.
So how does a team work?
Oh, that's a good question. It's such a big patent infringement case that we have... First of all, let me tell you this. We're on the plaintiff side.
Okay.
Which means we're suing another company.
Okay.
We're a smaller company. It's not a small company. It's a smaller company suing a larger company.
Okay. Asking for names. I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
And altogether, there's lots of patents at issue. It's not just one. So everyone's assigned to teams based on the patent. Everyone's assigned to teams based on... Other specialties.
So
like,
you're working on how many patents right now?
You
personally, like your team, for this one case.
Let me think. 13 altogether.
So you alone are working on 13 patents.
Not me alone. The team is
working on 13 patents. And there's, like you said, like 10 to 12 lawyers on this one case.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has their own patent.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, but there's patent teams.
Okay.
There's like sub teams. It's really like a pretty complex bureaucracy that gets set up.
Okay.
Right now I'm responsible for 3.
Is there like a head lawyer that manages everybody?
Yeah.
So in a way it's like, okay, all you guys are like scouts, right? And then the GM is like in charge of all the scouts and now you're working at draft situation. Is this analogy working at all? Because this is the only way I understand things recently is baseball analogies.
I see what you're trying to do. The only analogy I can think of is that there's actually like a little mini company that gets set up.
Okay.
It's pretty...
So a company within the firm itself.
Yeah.
Okay. So each case, you guys form a company, essentially, like you said?
Depending on how big it is, yeah.
Okay. For the stuff you guys work on, it's normally pretty big? Yes? No?
It really all depends. Like, this is one of the bigger cases that's...
Okay. So this isn't the average. This is more on the larger scale?
This is bigger. And the person who's the head guy, you know, the GM...
Yeah.
He likes to have a, like, company of people underneath him.
So he wants to surround himself with as many eyes as possible.
You know, I just thought of a better analogy.
Then give it to me, please.
It's sort of like warfare, and you have, like, your platoon, and there's, like, a commander, and I don't really know how the military works, but there's, like, a commander and, like, other people under him, and everyone reports to someone slightly more senior.
Got it. So where are you on the scale of this?
Oh, very low. I just started 2 months ago.
Okay, so you're reporting to other lawyers, and they're reporting to the bigger guy, to the commander?
Yeah.
Is that how it works? Do you have an assistant?
I do have an assistant.
So your assistant is lower than you, or does she work with more than one lawyer, or what?
Yeah, she works actually with 3 other new lawyers.
I'm sorry, I assumed it was a she. That was sexist. I just realized, but it happened to be a woman.
Well, yeah, it's okay. I mean, you're right. You just happen to be right, like 95% of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd. Maybe I don't know. Whatever.
There are male assistants, but they are just far outnumbered for whatever reason.
Got it. You wanted to go to law school for this specific type of law.
Yeah.
When did you decide that you wanted to do patent law?
Let's see. Well, I did computer science at our alma mater,
DePaul.
And I think about 3 years in, I realized that I did not want to work as a computer programmer.
Why?
It just didn't sound very exciting.
I got a friend that's a computer programmer, and he's on the fence about enjoyment. Because to him, it's like, once you, like 6 months in, it's pretty much the same stuff.
Yeah, I think I would have found a way to enjoy it, but
okay.
I also just didn't want to stop going to school. I felt like it was too early to stop.
Why didn't you go to, you can go for computer science, obviously, so why
not? For grad school, yeah. Well, actually, that was my original goal, is I wanted to do a dual program at DePaul.
For law and computer science?
Mm-hmm.
What did they say?
I got in.
And why did you, you went to Madison, for, and that is north in Wisconsin. Why did you choose Madison instead of DePaul?
It was higher ranked.
Okay.
And I'd always heard from people, lawyers, other law students, that was just generally a better idea.
Okay. Stick with one instead of dual?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, I mean, no, to go to the highest ranked place.
Oh, of course. Well, that makes total sense.
Right.
But if Madison had let you do computer science and law,
ooh,
would you have done
that?
Yeah,
I actually thought about trying to do that there, but I mean, not to knock DePaul or anything, but it would have been a much harder.
Well, they're ranked higher. That's not knocking anybody.
Yeah. Their computer science program is like really super selective.
You're talking about Madison right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did it help you get the job you currently have because you went to Madison? Or does it matter?
Because I went to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
I think it did, yeah.
How so?
For one, Minneapolis hires a lot of people from Wisconsin because it's a neighboring school.
Okay. Well, DePaul's not far either.
It's not, but Wisconsin's also kind of considered in like a shifting...
You're using air quotes right now.
Yeah, shifting perennial like top 25 schools, even though it's not really in the top 25.
Okay. So why did you want to do patent law instead of computer science? Well, you said computer science would have been boring, but why patent law? Why is that exciting?
It's exciting because it kind of draws in both things.
How so?
The best example I can think of is the case I'm working on, which has...
I'm not asking. I don't want to get in trouble.
It has to do with computer technology.
Okay, so you're working in a situation where the technology is consistently changing. Yes or no?
Well, the technology is changing, but we work with like relics of that technology because it's patents that are older.
Because of what you're working on, you said it might take up to 3 years for this one case, and because it's technologies, is there any way that by the time this thing is settled, this will be like all for moot?
How do you mean moot?
Well, I shouldn't have used that word because I'm trying. I think I know the meaning of it, but it'll be all for naught. It won't matter because all the technology will be outdated. Is that possible?
It's not so outdated, and it won't take that long. But I know that there are cases where that's the case.
Really? And like, yes. So like, you guys will spend 3 years working on something, and then it's all for nothing, possibly.
No, because it's never all for nothing, because you're always suing to get royalties for the time period in which the patent was infringed.
Oh, okay.
So things can happen like retroactively.
Okay.
Although it does help if it's not like a completely outdated or expired patent.
Okay.
That helps.
So you're happy with what you're doing?
Yes.
We never got back to your day.
Oh, my day.
Yeah, your day. What do you do at noon? What do you do at 1 p.m.? What's it usually like?
I don't really have like a usual schedule. Like it really just depends on what I've got to work on. Like I can be in my office for hours at a time, reading stuff, trying to write stuff.
When you say reading stuff, what are you reading? The actual patents?
Usually reading other litigation documents.
Okay.
Letters.
So all law-based stuff that like a layman probably wouldn't understand.
No, I mean, I'm sure you could understand it by looking at it and reading it, but...
But would I understand how it relates to the case itself?
No, hopefully not. Otherwise, that would really negate why I'm...
A lawyer?
Yeah.
You said that your first year of law school was the hardest. And by the third year, it was relatively like a cakewalk.
Actually, no. I think I'd say that my second year was the hardest.
Why is your second year the hardest?
I just had a lot going on.
Okay, what did you have going on?
I was on a journal.
Okay, you were the editor. Weren't you the editor, or were you just on it?
I was... how it works is that the second year, you're on it, and you... really just do the grunt work.
Uh-huh.
You take other authors' articles that are being submitted to the journal and make sure everything that they cite to is correct.
Okay, so you're like a really intense proofreader.
Yeah.
Okay, or fact checker, I should say.
Yes, fact checking. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Okay.
And there's just, you know, there's like a really elaborate system for it.
Did that job help, or did that position? Did you? Is it a job? Is it a position? I know it takes up a lot of your time, but
it's just, you know, it's an extracurricular activity.
Yeah, but it's weird to say that if you're in law school.
Yeah.
It's like the soccer team you joined. So did that help you get into the firm you're at now?
Yeah, it does. It's.
So for all the young,
For
all the young lawyers out there,
yeah, to get in a journal, I don't care how much you think it sucks or how stupid it is, just do it because.
But why? Is it because you're studying other types of law consistently?
No, it's because it's mostly like a political thing. Like it's good to have in your resume that you were on the journal because they typically take, quote unquote, the top students.
Okay.
Luckily at Wisconsin, there was a write-on competition, so I got to write onto it, despite the fact that my grades would not have gotten me in by themselves.
Okay, were your grades not good because you didn't care, or were you just didn't get it, or what?
No, I got it, but I just performed, averagely, and I didn't kill myself studying like a lot of people.
Your first year you're talking about here, yeah. Right? Okay, but by the third year, it was very easy.
It was pretty easy.
You told me you played Halo a lot.
Oh, I played a lot of Halo.
Most people don't think that that's what law school is like.
Well, people who have been through it know that the third year is kind of a joke.
What is the third year for then? I mean, besides obviously you're taking classes, but like, what's the point? To find a job?
That's a great question. No.
Really? So when did you know?
To be honest with you, I don't really know what the point of the third year is.
Really?
And a lot of professors feel that way too.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty much agreed that it should only be 2 years long.
Wow.
And it's just been such a long-standing thing that it's a three-year program that...
It's tradition at this point.
A lot of... Some schools are starting to offer two-year programs. Like, I know Dayton.
I don't know.
Dayton Law School, I think they have a two-year program now.
But wouldn't that be harder to find a job, though, because people know you didn't do all 3 years? Like,
no.
Because you said, like, being on a journal helps.
No, because that helped me get the job I had during the summer between my second and...
The journal or the third year?
The journal.
The journal helped you get the job that you had after your second year of law school?
Yeah, okay. And I was working at the place I work at now as sort of a quasi-intern, and you get job offers to come back after that.
Got it.
So the third year had no impact on my career.
So you could have started working at this firm as soon as you were done with the second year, is what you're saying.
If I didn't have to graduate, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's trace back. So now you're in Minneapolis. Before you were in Madison. Before that, you were in Chicago. And before that, you grew up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You've lived everywhere in the Midwest, kind of, when I think about the Midwest, because Iowa doesn't.
I've even lived in Ohio.
You lived in Ohio? Where'd you live in Ohio?
Dayton.
How long?
2 years.
Really? When?
Yeah. Let's see. Second and third grade.
I didn't know that. Why?
That was the tail end of my dad's Air Force career. He was stationed at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Did you move a lot when you were a child?
Yeah.
Where?
Was born in Stuttgart, Germany.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And
I'm learning.
And
when did you move from Germany?
Well, we moved twice back and forth. From what I know, I was very young. We moved to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
When I was like 3, that's where my sister was born.
Okay.
Well, technically we lived in Maryland, but it was the D.C. area.
Totally.
And moved back to a different place in Germany.
Okay.
Then Ohio and then Michigan.
So wait, how old were you when you finally left Germany?
I did kindergarten and first grade there, so I would.
So you remember Germany somewhat?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do you ever want to go back?
Oh, I've been back on trips to Europe.
Yeah. Do you speak any German?
Yes, but only because I took it in high school.
Oh really?
We lived on an Air Force base, so it was like a little Americanized, you know, little
town
section.
Did you ever veer off and go around Germany?
Yeah, you know.
Wait, was this before the wall was down?
Partly, part of it was and part of it wasn't.
Yeah.
We've actually got a piece of the Berlin Wall in my
really?
in my mom's house, I think. Oh, wait. You know what? I don't know if she has it or my dad has it.
Do you remember any of this?
I have vague memories.
Well, you were there when the wall came down.
We were in Germany, yes.
You were in Germany.
Yeah, we were in West Germany.
Did it affect the base at all?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like another day?
Yeah.
Okay, so you moved from
Germany. I think we were pretty far away from Berlin.
Okay. So then you moved to Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? Boring. You're second and third grade.
I was, you know, I didn't really have much opinion
on
it.
So then you moved to Michigan.
It's a pretty boring state.
So you moved to Michigan in fourth grade?
Yes.
Where?
A little town called Mason, right outside of Lansing, the capital.
And because of that, you were a Michigan State fan.
Mm-hmm.
Though you didn't move there till fourth grade.
Correct.
And you didn't go to Michigan State.
Correct.
You still root for Michigan State.
Yeah. Even before that, I had little Michigan State shirts when I was a kid and stuff because my mom...
Oh, so it's like an alumni type thing?
So my mom went there for 2 years before she couldn't afford it anymore and went and joined the Air Force.
So your mom was also in the Air Force with your father?
Yeah, that's how they met.
Oh, see? I'm learning a lot about you. Mm-hmm. Do you have any desire to go in the military?
No, I thought about... briefly, I thought about joining the JAG Corps for the Air Force.
Yeah?
Because...
When was this?
During my 3L year. My third year in law school.
Really?
I thought about it. It just sounded fun because from what I've heard, what you do is you go around for 4 years, you're stationed in different places, and you get lots of trial court experience, just like, you know, in
the show JAG?
Yeah.
The show JAG was based around
that. Although that's Navy JAG.
Oh, sorry. I've never actually seen the show JAG. I just knew it was
I've never seen it either.
There.
My dad was a big fan, but I think this kind of sucks. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the movie with Tom Cruise.
Oh, A Few Good Men?
Yeah.
Okay. With Nicholson and Demi Moore and
yeah.
all that. Okay.
And people are doing that kind of stuff within like a year or 2 years of being in JAG.
Really?
Like, it's crazy. You get like crazy experience.
So why didn't you do it?
Well,
because none of the law that you'd be practicing there would have anything to do with what you're doing now.
No, it'd be mostly criminal stuff.
So it would just kind of be like a vacation in a way, or like a four-year sabbatical?
Sort of, but yeah, it's exactly. It's like 4 years is a long time.
It is a long time. Well, what's your goal now? Now that you're working at a firm, you're in a new city, like, do you have a five-year plan? Do you have a 10-year plan? Do you care? Or are you just working and enjoying it?
Pretty much, I'm just trying to work and get really good at it and see where that takes me.
How will you know when you're really good?
I won't know. I'll probably be like 60.
So when something. You're 60, then you make the next step.
I shouldn't say I'm trying to get good. I'm just trying to get better.
Was it good or bad that you... Were you... Okay. How should I phrase this? You knew what you wanted to do when you were in law school, right?
Yeah, more or less.
You knew what you kind of wanted to do when you were in college, correct?
Sort of.
Kind of? Well, although when you say sort of.
Compared to most law students, I didn't... I was kind of a late bloomer because...
Really?
There's a lot... Most of the people I went to school with had a notion that they wanted to do this since the day that they were, like, in school.
Why? Why do you think that is?
It's usually either because their parents or someone in their family are lawyers.
Is anyone in your family a lawyer?
No.
Did that make it easier or harder? Or it doesn't matter?
I don't think it really makes a difference. Uh-huh. It might make it a little bit easier for some people if they've got a lawyer in the family.
In terms of what? Like getting into school, getting a job?
No,
what?
Because they just know more what to expect. And they're like preparing themselves for it the whole time.
Okay.
But it was a brand new concept to me pretty much by the end of my college career.
Going to law school.
Mm-hmm.
When did you take the LSAT?
When did I take the LSAT? I think it was...
Was it late in your college career?
Yeah, it was...
Was it hard to get into school because of it?
No, it was the standard time of when you when you take it. If you don't want to take any time off. It was my junior year.
So you...
No, wait, let me think.
I don't know.
It was fall of 2004. So that was
so your senior year.
Yeah.
Was it easier or harder to find out if you were getting in or getting money?
No, that's like the standard.
That's the standard time.
Yeah.
So you weren't hurt in any way. You just didn't think of it until later on.
I just didn't think of it until like my junior year.
Okay.
And it was kind of an on the fly decision. Like I signed up for it and just.
Did you study a lot?
No.
Really? Did you study at all?
Yeah, I did. I did study some.
What'd you do?
I got a book of old practice tests.
Yeah.
And I did some of the logic puzzles.
Did it help?
I don't know if it helped or not.
Well, you were the kind of guy that, when we worked together, you were doing crosswords every day. And you also did, not only did you do crosswords, you did the patternless crossword. Did that help?
No. That's just fun to me. I don't think that helped.
So you're obviously a very smart man.
I didn't do that well on the LSAT.
Would you?
I think I barely got into Wisconsin.
Okay, you did something else at Wisconsin that I thought was kind of funny. Besides the journal, weren't you like a head of a group or something?
I was never the head of a group.
You were part of not extracurricular, but part of a... Weren't you part of like the Hispanic lawyers of Madison or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do there?
I was the webmaster.
You were the webmaster?
Yeah. But then towards the end of it, I was pretty much one of the only older... In my older, I mean... third year males on it.
Yeah.
And I sort of just filled in other leadership positions where they... I'm making this sound all formal. I was just like the grandfather of the group.
Okay. No, it sounds kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to look at... okay, law is interesting, blah, 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 Midwest. Where do you want to live after Minneapolis?
That's a good question. I think, if anywhere, I would probably try to come back to Chicago.
Why?
The biggest draw right now is that I have family here. My mom moved here about a year and a half ago.
From Michigan?
Yeah.
So now she lives in the southwestern suburbs.
Yeah, she lives, yeah.
Yeah. You actually picked me up today. That was very nice of you.
Yeah.
It is the Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and we were both bored out of our minds.
That was.
Because that's what family's about.
I was watching GSN all day because they had a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire marathon, and they showed two of the people who have won the $1 million, which is really fun to watch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What else did you watch? What did you watch last night?
Last night we watched The Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton.
How was it?
On demand. I thought it was pretty good.
Did you see the other Hulk?
No.
Okay, I didn't see that one either.
I heard it was really bad.
I heard it was really bad, but I like...
Eric Bana?
I like him. No. Eric Bana's cool, but I really like Ang Lee.
Oh, that's so weird that he directed that. I forgot that.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of Hulk jumping.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
No, I think you're right. This one had a lot of weird computer Hulk jumping, too, but it was better because Ed Norton's a good actor.
Well, I thought this one actually was based on Ed Norton, and the other Hulk was all computer, I thought. You know what I'm talking about? The actual Hulk character himself.
Oh, I see.
Not Bruce Banner, but Hulk. Anyways, so you watched the Hulk last night.
Yeah.
I watched Rocky and 8 Mile.
Nice.
Which are very similar films, if you think about it. They're both great.
They are sort of similar.
I think Rocky 1 is one of the most romantic films of all time.
They ended kind of the same way, right?
Kind of. Yes and no.
They end with, like, victories.
They end in victories, but both victories aren't complete because B-Rabbit goes back to the factory that night to work and Rocky loses in the draw.
Right.
Loses in the split decision. And the major difference is Adrian and Rocky are happy at the end and Eminem gives the finger to Brittany Murphy. But it was like a loving finger, if you remember. This is after the whole...
It's been a long time since I've seen
the battle scene where he says, yes, you fucked my girl, you beat the shit out of me, that one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I love that fucking film. I've had that scene in my head for like a week.
It's a great movie. People forgot about that movie.
Is being a lawyer like being in 8 Mile at all?
No.
Okay. Is being a lawyer like being in Rocky at all?
No.
Are you going to do anything to make your life more like Rocky or 8 Mile?
No.
That's sad. All right. I'm going to close this with a book from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. You pick a number, 1 to 260.
112.
Good job. Flip. Okay. There we go. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
I've already ripped it twice. Okay. If you could pick any one food and have as much of it as you wanted, but nothing else during the next week, what would you pick?
Ooh.
Just only a week, though.
That's a good question.
Is it a good question? Thanks to Gregory Stock, PhD.
Because I was, you know, my first, before you finished reading the question, my instinct was mac and cheese. Of course.
Why?
But I don't think I could eat mac and cheese for a whole week.
Yeah.
One food I could really honestly eat all day.
Yeah.
And then have it for a long time and still, like, not get sick or anything is probably cereal.
What kind?
Do I have to pick just one cereal?
No.
Okay, see? I would just pick lots of different kinds of cereal.
Okay,
and eat
that
cereal.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, this just, let alone solidifies the fact that you are living Seinfeld's life.
Because I like cereal?
No, because you love his comedy, you love the deadpan, you kind of act like him, you kind of... Yeah, you live Seinfeld's life, except you don't have any ugly, fat, bald friends or any wacky neighbors, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing.
I think my...
You'll be on a jet...
I kind of do have a wacky neighbor. He hasn't come over very much.
Do you
much.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he slam through the door?
No, but he's kind of a wacky guy.
Does he eat your food?
No. Okay, he's nothing like Kramer. Never mind.
He's like Newman?
No, but I like him, so he's not like Newman.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Enjoy your time here. I hope you come back to Chicago soon.
Yeah, thanks. This is a great podcast. I hope everyone keeps listening.
Yeah, thanks for doing that at the end when, at this point, no one will be listening to it. All right, you've been listening to you, me, them, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. I'm going to close with Daniel Knox. Daniel Knox is playing December 7th at the Old Town School of Folk Music in Lincoln Square with Kirsten Hirsch from Throwing Muses. And 4 days later, if you're in London, you should check him out because he is playing with Jarvis Cocker of Pulp and Patrick Wolf and a bunch of other... rock and roll superstars, and he's great. So here's Daniel Knox. Thanks again. It happened at the Pleasureland Arcade.
fantasies and criminals are made. I shuffle in to pay my eyebrows and fee. Loaded in booth number 3, but through the hole, what should I find but a detective of the undercover kind? When you're caught red-handed, you're branded a liar. They look down. Thank you.